Back with me here now in Acts chapter 5. I got four things I want to say. I want to talk about Christ as a prince, as a savior, and he's the only one that can give repentance and forgiveness of sins because he's a prince and because he's a savior. He can do those things, and he's the only one that can do them. And when you read this, the same fact appears very differently to different people. Some people look at the same thing and have totally different reactions to it and different conclusions to it. It happens all the time. But here's a perfect example of it. When these apostles told these Jews, this Jewish priest and all the Sanhedrin and all their council and all those people, he says, God, this Jesus whom you slew and hanged on a tree, him hath God highly exalted, and God set him at his own right hand and made him to be a prince and made him to be a savior. And you slew him. You hung him on a tree. And now God's exalted him, and he can give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we're witnesses of these things. And when they heard that, the scriptures tells us there in verse 33, when they heard that, they were cut to the heart. It just laid their heart open, bothered them to no end, and said, took counsel to slay him. What was a great blessing to these apostles and a great, great blessing to us, our Lord Jesus Christ, his resurrection, his ascension, his exaltation, his blessed titles as a prince and as a savior, him exalted, and these fellows that were witnesses of these things, these are great blessings to us. But the priests and rulers, they couldn't bear to hear it. They couldn't bear it. That wasn't good news to them. That's not good news to a lot of people. Read a sign on a church over here, on the way over here this morning. It says, when you're willing, God is able. God is able whether you're ever willing or not. Is that right? God's able whether anybody's willing or not. He's able to do according to his will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and no man can stay his hand or say unto him, what you doing? And all, but listen, and I tell you what, they tried to shut these men's mouth, put them in prison. They told them, you intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Well, they themselves said, when Pilate stood out and said, this, I find no fault in this man. He had him bring him a pan of water and he began to wash his hands. He said, I'm going to wash my hands of this matter. And they said, let this man's blood be upon us and on our children. And that's what they're saying here. Now you're going to bring his blood on us? Make us responsible for it? Well, they was responsible for it. But oh, what an effect it had on the apostles. And man, you know, put them in jail. They come out of jail and went right back out there teaching and preaching. They said, well, listen, I told you that you're supposed to stop this business. I told you that you're not going to fill Jerusalem anymore with your doctrine. We're going to stop you. Peter says, oh, no, you're not. Oh, no, you're not. He said, who are we going to obey? You or God? Who's got the power? You or God? And so that's what happened. And I tell you what, they were eyewitnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when they saw him, who was laid in a grave, after being taken down from that cross, now risen and ascended, and they were standing there, that when he ascended back to glory, and they understand that he's exalted at God's right hand, now there with all power and all authority. And he said, we're going to speak in his name because it's the name of authority, it's the name of power, it's the name of grace, it's the name of love, it's the name of everything that God has invested in this world. It's in this blessed man's name. And I tell you, we're going to preach in His name. He who conquered death, He who put away sin, He who's exalted by God could and would surely be able to take care of His followers. He says the angel of the Lord come and took them out of prison. So here they are standing toe to toe with the enemies of their master. They wasn't afraid. They wasn't ashamed. And all, beloved, they began to preach. And they didn't say much. But everything they said, it cut these fellows right to the very heart. And our Lord has two blessed titles here in verse 31. Two blessed titles and two things that He does. God exalted Him at His right hand. Who? This Jesus whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him, this same one, God exalted with His right hand to be a prince and a savior. Both of them capitalized. Titles of our Lord Jesus Christ. To give, and here's the second thing He does. To give repentance and forgiveness of sins. A prince and a savior. A prince and a savior. And I tell you, what does it mean when it says He's a prince? Well, it says here, first of all, that God's exalted Him. And when it says He exalted Him at His right hand, that means He's there receiving all honor and all power and all glory. And I tell you, He's there at the right hand of God as a reward for His sufferings on this earth. And our Lord Jesus Christ told His Father that. He prayed and He said, Father, glorify Thou me with the glory that I had with You before the world was. And so we see Jesus, who is made lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. And here He is, beloved, while He is on this earth. The prince of this world treated Him cruelly. Paul said over in 1 Corinthians, he says this. He said, if the princes of this world had known, they would not have crucified who? The Lord of glory. But oh my, they treated Him cruelly, as we all did. When our Lord Jesus Christ came, we did see no beauty about Him that we should desire Him. None whatsoever. He was as a root out of dry ground. And when He was stricken and smitten and afflicted, we said God did that. We didn't have nothing to do with it. And that's what they said. And that's, we were in the same boat as these fellows here are. And when the Prince of Glory came into this world, God's the Prince of Peace, the Prince of Glory, the Prince of Power, came into this world and did not know Him. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. And what did He take home with Him? When He went back to glory, you know what He took home with Him? It says this, what are these wounds? Where did Thou get these wounds? He said, these are the wounds that I received in the house of my friends. And He took His wounds that He received in the house of His friends. He took them back to glory with Him. And oh, beloved, that's what He took with Him when He went back to glory. And His shame and rejection is over now. Oh, it's over now. Oh, He's in glory now. The Prince, revered, obeyed, honored, even the angels now sing His praises and honor. Lift up your heads, O ye everlasting gates. And the Prince of Glory shall come in. Who is this Prince of Glory? The Lord of Hosts. Strong and mighty in victory. And I tell you, beloved, all things as a prince are now put under His feet. He is the Prince. In fact, the Scriptures tells us He's the Prince of all the kings of the earth. He's the King of kings and Prince of all the kings of the earth. His dominion's over all creation. For He is Lord over all, blessed forever. And not only does it mean that we've received honor, but it seems that He, when He's called a prince, that He actually has the power as a prince does. He actually has the power. He's not a paper prince. He's not a pretender.
No, no.
It's not just a title. Over England, you know, they got all these, they got princes and dukes and lords and kings and queens, and have all these. They're just titles. They actually have no power. They cannot make no edicts. They have no authority. But our Lord Jesus Christ, He's God's power. He's actually got the authority. He's not a paper prince. Our Lord has both glory and He has strength. He said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." And I tell you what, He is, His kingdom is now, His kingdom is now on this earth, and He's the king over people on this earth, and He rules over this earth according to His will and good pleasure. You know, He said, the scripture said, He must reign until every enemy is put under His feet. He has the keys of David. He can open and no man can shut. He can shut and no man can open. It says He is the one, on his shoulder is the government. And it says there that He is wonderful, counselor. Listen to this. The mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And I'm telling you, there's no bounds to the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's no bounds to His power. Now people say, well, I tell you what, you can resist Him. Everybody resists Him. There's not been nobody that's ever born on the earth that didn't resist Him. But when He exerts His power and puts His power forth upon your heart, upon your will, upon your mind, upon your affection, can you resist it then? Are you ashamed that you ever resisted someone so lovely and so glorious and so powerful and so gracious? Oh, listen, He is able. He's exalted to give repentance and forgiveness of sins. Now, in this world here, the world we live in right now, and it's been this way for years, you know, you can go through history. Let me give you a little history lesson here. You can go through history and you can find out where every religion ever started. You can find out where Pentecostalism started, where Jehovah's Witnesses started, where Mormons started, where Seventh-day Adventists started. You can go in history and find out wherever Christian Science, wherever religion started. You can go in history and find it. You can find when people started preaching that, you know, you had to speak in tongues to have the baptism over. You can go in history. But you got to go to the Bible to find out where the gospel started. And where did the gospel start? With God. With God. And that's what I say all that to say this. Lots and lots of people are interested in His power to heal. Oh, listen, they get in line so some preacher can lay their hands on them and say, oh, listen, I got healed. Throw your crutches away. Get out of that wheelchair. And oh, lots of people interested in being baptized in the Holy Ghost. And oh, they won't speak in another language. They won't speak in some other tongue. And nobody can ever tell you what they're saying. And it says if you speak in another language, always give an interpretation of what you say. That's why when we go to Mexico, we got to have an interpreter. I'm speaking in tongues to them people, and them people are speaking in tongues to me. We don't understand one another. We got to have an interpreter. But they want this. They think, oh, we got to have them give us power to tread on scorpions. And oh, they're worried about interesting His power in the millennium. Tell you what I'm interested in. I'm interested in His power to save from sins. That's what I'm interested in. I'm interested in His power to give me repentance. I'm interested in His power to save me and keep me saved, to present me faultless before the throne of God and in the presence of God. That's what I'm interested in. That's what I want to know. I want to be saved. I want to be saved. I may be healed. I may be healed of one disease, But still, that ain't going to keep me from dying. But I tell you what, death has no dominion over them who are trusting in Christ. And if sins are gone, that's all that matters. Get healed. Go get a... Steve had a bypass. And then he's well. He's doing good. Great. People up there had a heart attack. These things happen. People have body parts replaced. But all the fact that these bodies are wearing out, bless His holy name, I'm interested in His power to save. Save from the thing that's mostly against us. Sins. And oh, and then as a prince, not only does he get all honor, as a prince he has all power, but as a prince he has dominion. I mean, how far is his dominion? A king on this earth, he only has dominion over whatever part he's king over. But now Christ... He said to God's right hand, how far does His dominion reach? He's Lord over heaven and earth. Oh, listen. When He stretches forth His scepter of righteousness, who all come to Him and come to Him on His terms, not ours. He is Lord over everyone, or He's Lord not at all. He claims to be Lord, but is it just a claim? He said, you call me Lord, Lord, and yet you do not the things that I say. And bless His name, He's our Commander-in-Chief. He is our Commander-in-Chief. He's our leader. He's our Lord. And old Barnard used to say this, you can't be in a kingdom without a king. If you're in God's kingdom, you got a king. That's what them girls said. We got to crown Him. Him only we crown as king. Oh, listen. And we're either submitted to Him and obey Him, or we're the servants of sin, self, and Satan. Let me look with me in Isaiah 55. I want to show you something here. Three titles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah 55. Three titles of our Master. Isaiah 55 and verse 4. Oh, His rule is over us. His rule is one of love and grace and affection. And our faith works by love. We love Him because He first loved us. He loved us. We love Him in return. But look what it says here. Three titles given to our Savior here in verse 4. And this is what God says about Him. Behold, I have given Him, first of all, for a witness to the people. What people? His people. I've given Him. What did Christ come here to witness to? He said, I speak not of myself, but Him that sent me. I seek not my glory, but His glory. He said, oh, Philip, he said, if you show us the Father, we'll be satisfied. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He came to be a witness of God. And then a leader. Oh my. The shepherd lead the sheep. They go in and out and find pasture. And listen to this one. And a commander to the people. it's his to speak, and it's us to obey. All right, look back over here in 5. I say we've dealt with prince. He as a prince he receives all honor. As a prince, he's got all power. As a prince, he has all dominion. He must reign. He must reign. Oh my, here's another one. And I love this one here. Not only a prince, but a savior. A savior. Oh my. You know, why would God give him the name of savior if he didn't actually save? Why would God give him the name of Savior and then leave it up to man to make his death and Savior left in their hands? Why would he do that? You think that God would exalt him at his right hand, make him a prince, and exalt him at his right hand, and he's the Savior? That God would put him in such a position and give him all this power and all this authority. And then as he made him a Savior, he says, but now this, I'm going to leave it up to you whether he'll be your Savior or not. You reckon God would do that? What kind of God would do that? Henry Mahan called him a peanut God. Peanut. But I tell you, Savior, what a comforting name. This is really the consolation of Israel. And that's what we've been waiting for, Savior. And oh, our Lord Jesus Christ, He persevered. Listen to me now. He persevered in His love for sinners. He endured the contradiction of sinners to Himself. When He was on this earth, He was a Savior. He's a Savior now on His throne. When He came, they said, "Thou shalt." He told Mary, He said, "Thou shalt call His name Jesus. Jehovah saves. For He shall save His people from what? Their sin." And all, beloved, Luke 19:10 says that He come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And I'll tell you what, one of the things that's going to enable us to face God is because we understand that we cannot ever face God in ourselves. We got to face God in Christ. And either He saves us or we're not going to be saved. He is able to save to the uttermost them that come unto God by Him. Let me tell you some things about Him as a Savior. He's the Savior of the body. Who's the body? His church. He is a Savior in His humiliation when He is on this earth. He's a Savior in His exaltation. He was a Savior when He wore a poor man's garments. He's a Savior now that He's girt about with golden paps with a golden girdle. He is a Savior when He had no place to lay His head. He's a Savior now that He's on His throne. He was a Savior when He wept over Jerusalem. A Savior now that His eyes are as a flame of fire. And He's a Savior when He comes again. He shall come the second time without sin unto salvation. When He comes again, we're looking for our great God and Savior and His appearing. That's what they say. And I tell you, He's a Savior. What a comforting name. Comforting name. Somebody said one time, they asked this lady, and she's going to die. What's your hope? She said, "I'm a great sinner and Christ is a great Savior." That's what John Newton said when it come to leave this world. "Mr. Newton, what are you going to do?" "I'll tell you what, I'm a great, great sinner, but He's a great, great Savior." Amen. And that's it. That's it. And our exalted Lord Jesus is a Savior. Listen to me now. A Savior in virtue of the work He accomplished and prevailed in while He is on this earth. He came here to do a work. He came here to do a work. He says, "My Father has given me power over all flesh." Now listen to me. "That He might give eternal life." To who? "As many as Thou hast given me." And I tell you, He come into this world to do a work. They kept coming to get Him. He said, "They can't get me. My hour's not yet come. My hour's not yet come." And then He told them, said, "I must go up to Jerusalem. I must suffer. I must be delivered into the hands of sinners." And when that time came, He come into this world. And as an infant, He was a Savior. Simeon looked at Him and said, "I've seen Thy salvation. Now let me depart in peace." And he was looking at a baby, 8 days old. And I tell you, beloved, and when we see Him, when He is on this earth, Everything he did, he had his face set to one thing, to finish the work his Father gave me. And you know what he said, the last words he said on the cross? The very last words he said on the cross. It's finished. It's finished. What's finished? Sin's finished. Death is finished. Hell is finished. Justice is satisfied. God's honored and exalted. And I tell you what, he is able to save men while he's on this earth. And when he said it was finished, everybody that ever, you know, everybody before the cross was looking forward to the cross. Everybody since the cross looks back to the cross, and everything that God did and had for men, the greatest epic in the universe was that cross. And everything that whipped up to it, and everything that looks back to it. That's the greatest event in human history, and the greatest event in heaven, and the greatest event in earth was that cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And on that cross, there was three things happening. First of all, he was dying not for himself, but for a people. Secondly, he was dying for sin, not for his own, but those that were given to him. Thirdly, he honored God and satisfied him, and God took him down from that tree, and he was put in a tomb, laid off, taken off of a cross, and put in a tomb. But because of who he is and because of what he did, God said, I'm satisfied. You go down there, told them angels, roll away that stone. Next thing you know, they run down there to see the Lord Jesus Christ. They looked in. Yeah, he's not there. Oh, where is he? He's over there. He's looking for his disciples over in Galilee. He's waiting on them. Oh, how do we know this redeeming work's done? Oh, listen, he's exalted to be a Savior. He deserves the name of Savior. He always deserved the name of Savior. He did here, he did before he came, and he did since he's gone. He deserves the name of Savior because he's the only one in this universe. Oh my. The ransom's been paid. The serpent's head's been crushed. And the grave, listen to it, I love it. The grave has been defeated of its power. We're all going to go there. But one of these days, the Lord Jesus is going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and the dead in Christ. Well, with what body are they going to come out? Well, you put something in the ground, it comes out something different. That's what he said. He said, and we're going to come out of the ground, and we are going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And he's going to bring his saints, and we're going to meet them in there. Oh, why? Because the grave didn't hold him, and because it didn't hold him, it can't hold us. Can't do it. Huh? Oh, my. By his bloody sweat, and by his agonizing death, by his cross and the great passion that he had, by his death and glorious resurrection, he has finished salvation. And God is highly exalted. He said, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. I'm a just God and a Savior. And oh my. And as a Savior, oh, listen to this. As a Savior, see how approachable he is. You know the kind of people that approached him while he was on this earth. Oh, that was a woman. They was in a Pharisee's house. Simon the Pharisee. And our Lord was in there eating. He asked him to come eat with him. Next thing you know, here comes a woman in there. Mary Magdalene was her name. And she came in there, and just as minute as she walked in the room, that Simon said, if this man was a prophet, he'd know what kind of woman this is. She's a sinner. He no sooner got out of his mouth than she got down at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And she wept and she wept and she wept and she wept. Then she took her hair and she tied his feet. She didn't care whose house it was, what was being served at the meal. She didn't care if Simon was a Pharisee or it didn't make any difference to her. She had one object in her mind, to get to Christ. And you know what? Christ let her come. Simon Peter denied the Lord 3 times. But he was out fishing. And the Lord said, have you caught any fish? No. And they said, come and dine. And old John said, well, that's the Lord. Simon Peter, then he jumped off the boat and went to swimming. He said, I've got to get to Christ. That's how he denied him 3 times, but he could not wait to get back in the presence of his master. How awful have we sinned, and how quickly do we go into the presence of our master, our Lord Jesus Christ. Huh? Oh, if I could just describe him. If I could describe him. How do you describe the Lord Jesus Christ? How do you describe how glorious he is as a prince? How do you describe how glorious he is as a savior? But I do know this. If you ever see him, if you ever see him and get a sight of him, you will approach him. You will approach him. And you'll come like you are. Oh, a prince and a savior. He's lordly. He's kingly. He has plenteous redemption. And oh, listen, plenteous of grace. He gives of his fullness, grace for grace. A savior, a prince, whose glory it is to save. His kingdom, his dominion are in full force to save his people from their sin. Now look what else he does now. Back here in verse 31. Not only is he a prince with honor, power, and dominion, and a savior. Savior. But he's exalted to give gifts. Look what the gifts he gives. For to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we're witnesses of these things. Now most folks think that they can't be born again until they repent and they believe. But the thing is you must be born again before you can repent and you can believe. Dead man can't do either one of those things. And that's why it says, for he gives it. It's not ours. It doesn't belong to us. We don't have the ability. But I tell you what, when he gives you life, and he says he gives repentance. Now what is repentance? It doesn't say here he gives you a space to repent or to make your repentance acceptable. It says here he gives repentance. Well, what in the world is repentance? The first thing it means is this. It's a change of mind. Is that right, Gary? A change of mind. And mind and heart's the same thing. It's in the scriptures. Mind and heart's the same thing. But what does it mean? A change of mind. But oh my soul, what a change of mind it is. Let me ask you this. When God saved you, did he change your mind? Did he change your mind about yourself? The first thing he does, change your mind about yourself. You don't feel so good about yourself. In fact, you say, oh, my righteousness is as a filthy rag. And you know, you say, well, you never have been a sinner before. Now, that's all you know to be. And what did he change his mind about Christ? Who he is? Did he change his mind about his righteousness? Did he change your mind about God and his sovereignty and his power and his glory? Oh, he changed your mind about your past. Oh, my past, I count it all dung. I count it all garbage that I may win Christ and be found in Christ. Oh, my. In fact, he says this is part of the covenant, that he shall make you loathe yourselves. Loathe yourselves. And oh my, it's a change of mind. What a change of mind. It's a radical change of mind, I'm telling you. He changes your mind as to the present and the future. Let me add, did he change your mind now that you're satisfied with Christ and Christ alone? Are you satisfied with him? Satisfied with who he is? Satisfied with what he did? Satisfied with what he's doing right now? Satisfied with where he put you? Are you satisfied where God put you in this life? Oh, listen. Very few people are satisfied in this world. They're not satisfied, you know. They drive a car 2 years, gotta have another. Always changing, always needing, always wanting to get something else. But we don't want nothing else but Christ in this business of salvation. Oh my. And oh, what a blessed, whoa, he changed our mind towards the future. What kind, you know, we got the most blessed future of anybody on the face of this earth. You know, we have all these speeches, you know, when kids graduate from college or high school, and they'll have people get up and give a graduation speech and tell them how, what a great future they have ahead of them, and all, oh, ain't nothing they can't accomplish, ain't nothing they can do, and all that kind of stuff. And I tell you what, there absolutely nobody got a better future, a more glorious future than we do. Nobody. Kingdoms will crumble. This world is in a whirl. It just goes like that. Fussing, fighting, disagreement, protest here, protest there, cussing here, cussing there, fighting here, fighting there. But let these kingdoms, they all going to crumble. He's exalted. Let the world go to hell. We're going to glory. The Lord gives such a change of mind, such a repentance, that makes you seem like you're new, and the world is new, and you're new most of all. You're the one changed most of all. And then look what I love, this is right here. And then give forgiveness. Oh, to give and to give for forgiveness of sins. Oh my, I'm interested in that. And how many of them does he forgive? It said in Colossians 2, having forgiven you ALL trespasses. How many reckon ALL means? Y'all know what AL means, don't you? Oh my. You know what it means? It means that they shall be as if they never existed. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. He blots out every record of every sin. God's book has no record of you ever being a sinner at all. God said, I will forgive their sins and iniquities. And you know what the next thing says? I will remember them no more. He looked for iniquity in Jacob, and he said, come back, and said, I didn't find any. Oh my. His blood, his atonement, his salvation is so powerful that all manner of sin shall be forgiven for his sake. Sins against God, sins against Christ, sins against his love, sins against his blood, sins against conscience, sins against the law, sins against the gospel, sins which have been in your bones from your youth up, sins of your middle age, sins of your old age, aggravated sins, black sins, damnable sins, all are gone. He has gone to His throne on purpose to give complete forgiveness of sin. And where the forgiveness of sin is, there's the removal of the penalty in it. No penalty for suffering. When this forgiveness is, all that was lost in Adam is restored. And oh, what peace and comfort comes with this forgiveness of sins. And He gives it. He gives it. Oh my. If He would give repentance to people that crucified Him and mocked Him, you reckon He'd give it to you? Reckon He'd give it to me? Huh? Are you interested in repentance? You interested in forgiveness of sin? If you are, I know where it's at, and I know who it's in. I know who it's in. Our Father, oh Father, Father, the blessed name of our Lord Jesus Christ, thank You for allowing us this glorious, blessed privilege of meeting here today. Thank You for the gospel. Thank You for our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank You that our sins have been put away once and for all by the sacrifice of Christ. Thank You that You have perfected forever them that are sanctified in Him. Thank You for the gospel that tells us salvation's finished. Christ is exalted. Christ has all power, all authority, and He sits there to save us, keep us saved, and take us to be with Him one day, where we'll be plumb saved from this world and all that's in it. We bless You in Christ's holy name. Amen. Amen. Turn to 42 in the hymn book. Let's stand and sing this, and you'll be at liberty to go. 42.
Break forth the
God willing, 6 o'clock.